This is Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. Our topic is the new federal tax law. And here's my question. Will most of us pay more or less in federal taxes for the year 2018? Our guest is David Hellman, a specialist in federal taxation law. He's also a specialist in estate planning, trust, and probate law certified by the California Board of Legal Specialization. He's a real estate attorney. He's also a CPA. His office is in San Rafael, California. This segment of Your Legal Rights is funded by the California Board of Legal Specialization, by the Lawyer Referral Service of the Bar Association of San Francisco, and by the National Board of Trial Advocacy. And David, it's great to have you back.
Well, glad to be here.
By the way, everybody, I want to make a couple of announcements to you, and I hope you have a piece of paper, a pen, pencil, etc., etc. We are going to talk about the new tax law, which is effective for 2018, but I also want you to know that our yearly Preparing Your Income Tax Return program will be on March 14th. We will also have a Call a CPA night that same evening. David will be back here on March 14th when we can talk about your tax return for 2017. The additional thing that I'd like you to know about, David has put together his January 2018 newsletter, 8 pages of the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. It's a great piece of information for those of us who would like to learn something about what are we going to have to expect for our return in 2018. And you might want to jot down his website for this. It will be available to you on his website, www.davidhellman, that's one word, davidhellman, HELLMAN.com, www.davidhellman.com. And David, it's, as I said, nice to have you here. What are we confronted with? What's your thought about this?
Well, it's a massive tax cut for mainly corporations and those that have large estates. It may have a positive impact on some taxpayers, individual taxpayers' income tax liability, and for others, it may cause them to pay more. This bill is said to be costing U.S. government about $1.5 trillion over the next 10 years in additional deficit. So somebody will end up paying for that some point in time, probably.
Somebody, that means us.
Well, us and our children and grandchildren,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah,
so somebody's going to have to make up for all that.
By the way, everybody, what we're going to do on this program is not also talk about the new changes in the tax law, but I want to give you a chance at your convenience. You can call in with your question, your comment, whatever it may be about tax law. And here's the toll-free number. You can call anytime you like, 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. And if you listen to the program on the Internet at www.kalw.org, which is nationwide, that's the same number for you, 866-798-8255. David, I received an email from one of the listeners of the program who has a frequent communication with me, and he thought that under the new tax law that you could not take any deductions for medical expenses. What thoughts do you have in response to that question?
Well, that's not in the final bill.
Okay.
In fact, they continued for people 65 and over. The adjustment before you could deduct medical expenses was 7.5%. That expired at the end of 2016. They have actually extended that for 2017 and 2018.
Mm-hmm.
So that's for people over 65, or one spouse of two spouses, as long as one of them is over 65.
Oh, if one is over 65, it applies to both if they're married?
Yes, right.
Oh, that's good.
So that is a continuation of what prior policy was for the medical.
Mm.
But so the medical will continue.
Well, I'm glad to hear that.
Right.
Now, with respect to the ACA, Affordable Care Act, what's
right.
the difference there
okay,
for 2018?
All right. So what happens is that they, after 2018, so this will be effective in 2019,
okay.
They are going to eliminate the penalty for people that do not have medical insurance. Although they want everybody to have medical insurance, For those that don't have it for whatever reason, because they can't afford it or it's way too expensive, then there will no longer be a penalty as part of the tax law. And that was sort of the incentive to force people to have insurance and also to provide some revenue to pay for the program. So what it's estimated, though, is because the premiums will probably go up because the insurance pools will go down in size, that as many as 13 million people in the country will probably no longer have medical insurance that would have otherwise under the ACA because of this elimination of this penalty.
Effective 2019. Because the way you entitle this in your newsletter, elimination of shared responsibility payments under the Affordable Care Act.
Right. Well, that's what they call them, is the shared responsibility payments, because if you didn't have insurance, then they made you pay these payments in.
I gotcha.
Be the incentive.
We no longer have an exemption. What was for 2017? Our exemption is what? And what does that mean?
Well, it's $4,100 for each of the taxpayer, spouse, and dependents. So
if you got your spouse, a couple of kids, that would be four times $4,100.
Right, so that would be $16,400. So they've eliminated that as a reduction of your taxable income.
So what have they done to make us not start crying?
Well,
if anything,
what they did is they increased the standard deduction up to $24,000 for a married couple filing jointly, and then $18,000 for a head of household and $12,000 for everybody else. So that's about a doubling of what it used to be.
Really positive?
It really depends on a person's individual circumstances. Mm-hmm. I mean, a family with four, as you mentioned, you know, going from $16,000 to $24,000.
That's positive.
That's $8,000 of itemizable deductions, and if somebody has less than that, well, then that's going to be okay. But if somebody has a lot more than that, but less than the $24,000, then they're going to have a problem in terms of being equal by losing the exemptions and also having the cap on with the standard deduction.
We now, as I understand it, at least for 2017, in preparing our tax returns for 2017, we still are able to take state taxes, real property taxes, and personal property taxes and apply them as deductions,
right? Yes, if you're itemizing your deductions, you can do that for 2017.
Now, 2018, what's the law there?
All right, they put a cap of $10,000 on the state income tax deduction and property tax deductions and personal property tax deductions. And the personal property is usually license fees that are part of the money that you pay to the Department of Motor Vehicles in California or whatever it is in whatever other state.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So the limit now, California's tax brackets, the highest one is 13.3%. So if you have an income of over $100,000, well, good part of it's going to be at 9.6%. And if you have a home and you're paying $6,000 or $7,000 or $10,000 or $12,000 in property taxes, well, you're not going to be able to deduct much of your state income tax that you've paid in. You aggregate all these numbers, and the maximum that you can deduct is $10,000. So that can be a real penalty for, and it is a penalty for those people that live in California, New York and New Jersey particularly, but it also has some fairly substantial impacts on Illinois and Maryland and Massachusetts. So there's other states that have higher income taxes that will also be impacted by this.
Again, I want to invite you to call in if you have a question, either with respect to the new tax law or perhaps some other question that you have with respect to the 2017. Feel free to call in. It's toll-free, 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. One of the other things that I see in your newsletter, your January 2018 newsletter, is that There is no deduction for allowed for and this applies to 2018. No deduction is allowed for miscellaneous itemized deductions, which include unreimbursed employee business expenses, investment expenses, tax preparation fees, legal fees for judgments that are taxable income. Would you talk about that a little bit?
Sure. So if somebody has a judgment that is taxable as opposed to a personal injury award, which is not, but if
and that will never change for a personal injury award,
right,
is that right?
Right. So if you have a personal injury award that's not taxable, the attorney fees aren't deductible, so we're not worrying about those. But if you have something like you were libeled or slandered and you get a judgment for that, the attorney fees you pay for that then will not be deductible.
Whereas for 2017,
they are as ordinary when you have your regular calculation of taxes. However, for alternate minimum tax, that also eliminates miscellaneous itemized deductions. So people in that circumstance would end up being taxed probably through the alternate minimum tax levels and penalized that way too. But they're now not even allowing it for the regular tax calculation. Alternate minimum tax is still in for individuals. They increased the exclusion amount, but they still kept it in. They did eliminate it for corporations.
Could you explain alternate minimum tax? What does that mean? How does it apply? Give us a simple example, if there is such a thing.
Well, it's not really overly simple, but let's try.
All right.
You calculate your tax using the regular method, deducting your itemized deductions, your exemptions. You come up with a taxable amount. You go to the tax tables and figure out how much you owe. Well, they, as an alternative, and this started 40 years ago because there were 30 millionaires that weren't paying any tax.
What a terrible shame.
And so they decided they wanted to make sure they were going to pay some tax.
Yeah.
Well, now this 30 millionaires is now up to millions and 70 million people who've been snared into this alternate minimum tax because they kept it. And it's a very large revenue source as part of the personal income tax. Some calculations have said that actually by eliminating the alternate minimum tax for individuals, you'd probably have less revenue than the ordinary income tax would generate by quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And the federal government couldn't really afford it. But what it is they recalculate your tax. So you start with the taxable income that you had under the regular calculation. You add back the exemptions. You add back the state income tax and the state local taxes, all the tax part of your miscellaneous itemized deductions. You add back the miscellaneous itemized deductions as well as those taxes. And then if you have certain kinds of tax preferences for things like oil and gas and large amounts of depreciation, those get added back. So then mm-hmm. they take an exemption amount depending upon your status, so it may be $40,000 depending if it at that, and then they take the balance and they apply a flat rate tax, either 26 or 28%, depending mm-hmm. upon what your income level was. So then you pay the higher of that alternate tax or the regular tax.
Oh, it's that simple.
It's that simple. That's why we're grateful we have computers.
There is something that would be helpful to some families with young children. The child care credit is increased from $1,000 to $2,000 per qualifying child.
Right. And that's generally children over under 18. If your income, however, is a higher level, then that phases out to zero, the credit does. So this really helps lower-income people, and it may help those that are hurt by this exemption and itemized deduction limitations that are coming in. And the intent was that would try and help them, but we don't know for sure whether it will until somebody actually can compute their own circumstances.
With regard to people getting divorced and one person has an order by the court from the divorce court that he or she will get alimony, we have had prior to this, there's been a deduction, et cetera, prior to this new law. Would you talk a little bit about this? What does this do now as far as alimony?
Okay, so after 2018... alimony will no longer, that is for agreements entered into after 2018, will no longer be deductible, and it will no longer be income to the person, the former spouse, that's receiving it. So it will just drop off.
That's positive, is it not?
Well, maybe. It depends if you're the payor or the payee.
Oh, okay. All right.
Payor is losing a big tax deduction. Yeah. Payee is getting a big tax benefit.
So the payee who gets the alimony as of starting in 2019.
Well, and that's for a divorce that happens then. So it does not apply to the old. Anyone that's had an agreement that's in place up to that point, that stays.
I see.
So the alimony is still deductible. The alimony is still income for the recipient. But this is for new divorces essentially after the end of this year.
I see.
And so what I sense is that that's going to cause a somewhat substantial shift in the way that divorces proceed in terms of allocating funds. It may be that people will pay more for assets, division of assets up front than they have initially now, and much less, if any, alimony.
I'm not sure that I have gotten this. With respect to miscellaneous itemized deductions, many employees today may have, for example, they may work at their home, they may not get reimbursed for, let's say, car expenses or whatever it may be. There is no deduction allowed for miscellaneous itemized deductions. And that includes employee business expenses, investment expenses, tax preparation fees, et cetera. That's a rather large area for
well,
people.
Well, it is. Right. Currently, employees who have unreimbursed expenses complete a Form 2106, and that amount then gets carried over as a miscellaneous itemized deduction onto Schedule A. Well, that's all going away. So
As of this year, 2018.
Right. So no longer will those miscellaneous itemized deductions be allowed. So that would then behoove employees to try and have their employer reimburse them for as much as possible for all those kind of expenses.
Now, would the employer, if the employer does reimburse them, is the employer entitled to have that as a business expense?
Yes.
Is it under the new law?
For most things. Now, they've changed that. So, for instance, transportation, and they're looking at 125 cafeteria plans, they've eliminated the ability to get reimbursement for things like transportation expenses. So if somebody got a bus pass or a parking permit or something like that, they've eliminated the deductibility of that for the employer.
I see.
So there are changes in this whole area, but losing the employee business expenses is going to be a problem.
One of the other things that the new law covers, and of course the new law you brought here to the studio, I think we've got, something like close to 200 pages.
Right.
So it's rather comprehensive.
It is. Now, going back, though, just for people's clarification, because the federal government has changed these rules does not mean that the states have necessarily changed these rules. Some states automatically comply with federal government changes in the tax law. Others, like California, do not. So what this all really means is that people are going to have to continue to keep the same records that they have been, and when all data gets entered into the computer, they may itemize deductions for the state, maybe not.
Oh, really?
Or may itemize for federal and may not. And the whole rules on how things are applied will be different. So all that same information, even though you may have lost the employee unreimbursed expense for federal, you may not have lost it for California or some other states that don't start with the federal rules and just apply a tax bracket.
Any indication that you've seen so far as to whether or not California is going to follow some of these rules?
They tend not to.
Uh-huh.
And will sometimes adopt the federal position on things as of the end of a certain year, but I have a sense that California will not follow this. In fact, California is looking for a way to try and get their state income tax to be deductible some other way, and some discussion had been held about making it a charitable deduction, but the IRS could easily eliminate that with a revenue ruling very quickly, so I don't think that will work, but the state is trying to be creative to see if there's another way to get the tax deduction.
Governor Brown, keep it up. Keep it up. If you're spinning now, listening to what David Hellman and I are talking about, we'll keep you spinning. We're not finished yet. If you can't stand it, listening to the program once, and you have to hear it a second time, it is available as a podcast, free of charge, if you'd like to listen to the program again, if you'd like to jot down this website, www.kalw.org/subscribe, SUBSCRIBE. That's for a free podcast if you'd like to have one. I'd like to let you know about something else again. I have been, if those of you who have listened to the program for a number of years, you may recall that I've mentioned I've been a deputy DA for San Mateo for many, many years. I'm no longer an active deputy district attorney, although I still volunteer. But one of the things that concerns me very much is the library, the San Mateo County Law Library, which is part of San Mateo County. So let me tell you something about this in case you are interested. Next Wednesday, which is January 24th, the nonprofit San Mateo County Law Library Foundation is having a post-holiday mixer and fundraiser for the Law Library, at which San Mateo County District Attorney Steve Wagstaff, my former boss, is the event speaker, and he'll talk about the improvement in the criminal justice system in San Mateo County in the last 7 years. And again, this will be on Wednesday, January 24th from 5 to 7 p.m., so they will not interfere with my program because they'll be finished at 7 p.m. And it'll be in the rotunda of the San Mateo County Historical Museum at 2200 Broadway in Redwood City across from the Fox Theater. And there is, I believe, David can correct me if I say something that's not right here, but there is a tax-deductible charge of $40 under the IRS code. And I'll ask you about this in a moment, David. And if you want to go to this, you need to RSVP by this Friday. And let me give you the phone number to call for more information. It's 650-363-4913, if you're interested in hearing Steve Wagstaff or interested in seeing what's going on with the Law Library. I feel it's terribly important for a county to have a law library which is part of the county, open to the public to come in and do their legal research. That's beginning to be too expensive. And that is one of the concerns of the law library for San Mateo County. So that's something I wanted you to know about. And again, if you are interested in taking a look and studying at greater length David Hellman's newsletter for 2018, here's his website. And by the way, I think we may have this on the KLW website for my program, Your Legal Rights. The 8 pages, which is quite a lot of information, but I think it's worth it for people to try to educate themselves. David's website is www.davidhellman, that's one word, David Hellman, HELLMAN.com, in case you want to take a look at it further. Now, one of the things that is not going to help me, and probably not most of us, but the federal estate tax exclusion has now been doubled. Tell us about that.
Right.
And why would that be done?
Well, it's done to help rich people.
Oh.
The exclusion was $5 million with an inflation adjustment. So for this year, 2017, if this law had not passed, it would have been $5,600,000. So what they did is they doubled the basic exclusion for estate and gift taxes up to $10 million and left in the inflation factor. So it's actually now $11,200,000 for this year.
Okay. For 2018.
Right, and it will go up by the inflation factor again next year. This will expire at the end of 2025. like these other provisions that we have been talking about, because in order for this to pass through the Senate, it had to meet certain budgetary requirements, and one of those would ended up being that they had to put a sunset on all of these personal provisions at the end of 2025. Otherwise, it wouldn't have met the Senate's rules.
So what does that mean at the end of 2025? What happened? We back to the old law?
Right, we go back to the old law.
Which is the old law going...
Which what we're doing our...
Just last year.
Right, 2017's law.
Oh, my. You talked a little bit about how certain expenses related to lawsuits would not be deductible anymore. We have had in the last recent months an enormous amount of discussion about sexual harassment everywhere, not only by very rich people, but apparently by supervisors of people who are cleaning toilets, for example. And one of the things that you have in your newsletter is sexual harassment and abuse case payments not deductible. Will you talk about that?
Right. Well, if you have an agreement that those issues are part of a lawsuit and are settled, but in a non-disclosure way, then any amounts that are paid for that settlement and paid for the legal fees for that settlement are not going to be deductible by the person or entity that is paying them. Now, usually an individual, it probably wouldn't have been deductible anyway unless they had a business and it related to their reputation. But a company that does this to protect their reputation now no longer will be able to take a deduction for those payments.
Certainly, someone who is the winner, that's someone who has been sexually harassed and wins either by a settlement or a lawsuit a substantial amount of money, that is not considered, even under the new law, income, is it?
Yeah, unless it's for personal injury, it is income.
It is.
Yes.
So if someone has been sexually harassed, has suffered all of this emotional stress...
Well, then that may be personal injury.
Oh, I see.
In order to be classified, though, as personal injury, there has to be some physical manifestation of that emotional distress. Otherwise, I mean, if you're in a car accident and you break your leg, well, that's a physical injury.
Yeah.
But if you have an emotional distress, you have to have some demonstrable way of showing that it has had a medical effect on you.
So the actual effect of rape and sexual harassment is not considered personal injury?
Well, that is because you've been personally violated. So there's been a physical thing that has happened. But if somebody just says something nasty to you...
Oh, I see.
Then that's something different.
Okay. All right. Well, boy, this is really something... I want to give the... everybody's very quiet, and I don't know why you're all being so quiet at this point. If you do have, let's say, some questions about, for example, your tax liability for 2017, David is very willing to respond to that. So why don't you call in? The toll-free number is 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. One of the things that I think is very important for all of us is to begin to start thinking about a preparation of our 2017 tax returns, because you don't want to wait until April 1st to really start putting on the steam. So if you have some questions, you have some concerns, you have some problems, and you would like to pose them to David, please do so. If you tuned in the last few minutes, this is Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. We're starting with, of course, the new federal tax law. And my guest is David Hellman. He's a specialist in federal taxation law and also in estate planning, trust, and probate law, certified by the California Board of Legal Specialization. He's a real estate attorney. He's also a certified public accountant. His office is in San Rafael. And I'd like you to take advantage of the fact that he is here. And if you do have questions that relate to your concerns about your 2017 tax return, or maybe even beyond that by going back to 2016, if there is such a thing that is confronting you, please join us with your question. The toll-free number again is 866-798-8255. And if you are looking for California Board of Legal Specialization certified specialists in California in any one of the 11 legal areas, here's the website, www.calbar.ca.gov, and click on Legal Specialists and then your county and whatever legal area that you're interested in. That will tell you who is in your county, who is that specialist, and there are many specialists. If you are looking for legal specialists in four legal areas nationwide, the National Board of Trial Advocacy's website is www.nbtalawyers.org, www.nbtalawyers.org. And again, if you are interested in listening to this program again, and I think it's a great opportunity for you to have a chance to refresh yourself on what David said. David, hey, how long have you been practicing tax law?
Over 45 years.
You look so young. Oh, don't give me that stuff. You've undergone some kind of facial sculpting.
No.
Over 40 years.
Right.
Oh, my. David, well, you look very good. Maybe that's what we should all do. It keeps us looking young. But the program is available as a podcast free of charge, and that's www.kalw.org/subscribe, SUBSCRIBE. And again, I want to let you know, everybody, that David will be back here on Wednesday, March 14th from 7 to 8 p.m. Pacific time for our yearly Preparing Your Income Tax program. And also that same evening, we'll have a number of the CPAs here in the conference room to take your calls off the air while we're doing the live program. So you might want to jot that down on your calendar, March 14th, 7 to 8 p.m. Pacific time. And Linda, welcome to the program.
Hi there.
Hi.
My question is about education deductions and if that has changed, you know, such as the HOPE credit or any other type of education deductions that wouldn't fall into the miscellaneous column.
Well, there is some consolidation of that, and that's going to end up coming through when you do your taxes. You'll need to, I mean, if most people use computers, and that'll automatically focus it back into the right direction. There still is an education credit.
Okay.
Does that help you, Linda?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, I didn't know whether it had been phased out or not. So far
not, yeah?
Right.
Okay. Thank you, Linda, for calling. Nice to hear from you. By the way, our next Call a Lawyer Night, which many of you are interested in, will be next week. That's Wednesday, January 24th from 7 to 8 p.m. Pacific time. And if you are interested, by the way, in speaking to an attorney off the air while I'm doing the live program will be on employment law, new laws at the workplace. But off the air, which we do every month, Call a Lawyer. That number, in case you are interested, whether you listen to the live program or not, you're welcome to call in between 7 to 8 p.m. on January 24th, and that number is 800-525-9917, 800-525-9917. And Shane, welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you. Thank you for having me on the program. Very interesting topic. And my question relates to, I have a child with who gets therapies and medications that are quite expensive for neurological disability, and we've previously been able to write those off. My wife is convinced under the new tax law that those are no longer deductible. So my question is, can you give a little bit of insight into when 2018 occurs, how if any medical deductions for children will no longer be able to be applied?
There's nothing in the law that limits what was in the prior law about that.
Great.
So same continues on what's been going on.
Okay. And there's no cap based on, I guess, on the state level. Is there any cap to those types of medical deductions, or we're pretty much okay?
No, it's just as it has been. There are no caps on it. It just continues. It has to be justifiable, and it. But if you've met the prior law, then you're okay for now.
Okay, so that's great, and that's not going to change in 2018.
No.
Okay. Well, thank you,
Shane. Thank you very much for calling. Catherine, welcome to Your Legal Rights, and I'm losing my voice.
Hello?
Catherine, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi. I was wondering for 2018 under the new tax law, what happens to charitable contribution deductions?
Charitable contribution deductions remain. If it's a cash contribution, actually the limitation has increased. The limit for 2017 was 50% of your adjusted gross income was the maximum amount that could be deducted. For cash contributions in 2018, that goes up to 60%. So it's still here and continues.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for calling, Catherine. All right, our toll-free number is 866-798-8255 if you have questions that pertain to your 2017 return, or you would like to ask some questions about what 2018 will do for you. Please join us, 866-798-8255. And Martin, who assists me on the program, is getting your phone numbers down, and he's going to bring them and put them on the window here so I see who's up. And again, we have Bill. Welcome to the program, Bill.
Thank you, and thanks for having this show. My question is about freelancers. Are we still able to deduct business expenses? Because you said employees can't.
Yes, you can. If you're a freelancer, you file a Schedule C.
Mm-hmm.
And all of your regular business expenses are deductible on that.
Even for 2018?
Yes, for 2018. So it doesn't impact people that are self-employed. Now, there is also a whole new deduction, which we haven't talked about yet, which is that for people that are either self-employed or have pass-through income from a partnership, a limited liability company, or an S corporation, then you can also deduct 20% of the net income from that activity, and also if you get a salary, you can also deduct a portion of that salary as part of this calculation. This is to try to help make this type of business somewhat comparable to the big deduction they made in corporate tax rates, which went down from the high down to a 21% flat rate. So that is part of what they did as part of this tax act. So people who have their own business or are involved in a business where they're an owner will be able to get some of that deduction.
David, talk a little bit. Does that help you, Bill?
Yes, thank you.
Okay.
Does that also include medical expenses and premium, insurance premium?
The system that's been in play has not been changed in that regard. So if you're self-employed and you deduct some of your medical insurance premiums, then some of those will continue to go over to page one as an adjustment before you get to the adjusted gross income figure.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Okay, Bill, great that you called. Thank you very much. Here is something that I'd like you just briefly to talk about. You mentioned before we went on the air what Google is doing. Would you talk about that?
It's Apple.
I'm sorry, Apple.
Apple, yes.
What is Apple doing?
All right, well, Apple announced today that they were going to, that and their expectation is that they're going to have about a $47 billion benefit.
Billion with a B.
With a B, because of the tax law changes. They are going to be bringing back a lot of the money that they have kept overseas, and they have talked about spending something like $350 billion in the next 5 years or so of building a new plant new campus somewhere, and also hiring an additional 20,000 employees. So that's part of the way they're going to use this, essentially, gift that they're getting from the federal government.
So, in other words,
lower tax rate.
Bringing this $47 billion back from out.
Well, no, that's just their tax savings. They're bringing more than that back. I'm sure they're going to, because they have a lot more than that accumulated in Ireland and other countries overseas.
So whatever they have accumulated,
they can bring back.
They can bring back
tax free,
and that would be tax free under U.S. law.
Right?
Isn't that pleasant?
Well, for them it is. If you're an Apple shareholder, it's good news.
Oh, brother. Here's a question. How will the new tax law reform affect the nonprofits that depend on charitable contributions? Question mark. Are people less likely to make charitable donations with the standard deduction increasing and fewer people likely to itemize?
There's been some discussion that that may happen. I have a sense that it will probably cause charities to sort of refocus their message a little bit and not focus.
How will they refocus? What will they do?
Not so much on the tax benefits of it, but the personal message that, you know, this is why you should give to us for whatever good reason they have for their charitable cause. So I have a sense that that's what's going to happen, is that the messaging will change. Even if people can't get the same tax benefit, the needs for the charities are still there. That hasn't gone away, so they have to keep reinforcing that message of their case.
Wow, incredible. Let's go back for a moment. Historically, certainly during the time that I've owned a home or homes, we've been able to deduct our mortgage interest expense. Now, how is that going to apply under the new law? Not as to mortgages that are prior to 2018, but from 2018 on. How will that apply?
So what happened is that as of December 15th of 2017, the new law says that if you are putting a new mortgage because you're buying a piece of property, or you're refinancing an old loan where either the term has expired or you're taking more money out, but if you're just refinancing it and everything else stays the same, then the old law would apply to you. But in those circumstances, if you're buying a new home, let's just use that as an example, then a married filing joint return can deduct interest on $750,000 of mortgage principal, and that's the maximum. Under prior law...
So in other words, if people buy a home that's worth over $750,000, they can't get the interest above the $750,000.
Right. That's right. Only that much. Now, the law prior has been $1 million. So that
I see.
It was lowered
so
from $1 million down to $750,000. And for married, for others, it ends up, or married filing separately, that number goes from the $750,000 down to half of that, which would be $375,000.
Uh-huh.
But other taxpayers could take the $750,000. So that is a new limitation. They've also eliminated the home equity loan deduction. That was an additional $100,000.
If you borrow money on the equity of your home.
Right, and that was allowed for up to $100,000 in addition to the $1 million.
Could take the interest and deduct that on your return.
Right, and no longer on home equity loans.
I see, as of 2018.
Right. Well,
here's another question. I'm not cutting you off, am I?
Nope.
Okay. All right, our toll-free number again, everybody, is 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. And here's another question. Is there provision in federal and or state tax law for an individual who misses filing deadlines due to illness? Question mark. If so, how does the taxpayer request such help?
Well, essentially what you want to do is to ask for a relief for the penalties for late filing.
Uh-huh.
And if it's the federal government, you'd be asking the IRS. And sometimes they can allow it, sometimes they won't. But the first step is, of course, get your return prepared and get it filed. And then if they send you a penalty notice, then ask for an abatement of that penalty. And similarly for state agents, state tax agencies, it would be the same issue.
How likely is it that if you're asking for relief from the penalty, how likely is it that...
Well, the medical problem would have to have really precluded you from filing the return.
All right. Gotcha. All right, Mac, welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Hi. I'd like to know what's going to happen to the AMT tax credit if you've got a tax credit.
That will continue to come forward. So you now in the AMT
so
exclusion will go
up. If you would tell us what is AMC, David.
All right,
that's
the alternate minimum tax,
yeah.
And if you've paid it in the past, you're entitled to a credit in the future. If it works out that you have a regular tax that would have been higher than the AMT in a subsequent year, then you get to use some of that AMT credit against your tax liability. So there's that has not been eliminated. It still carries forward.
Anything else, Mac?
Oh, I just wanted to mention that a lot of people who sold stock during the big bubble paid a huge amount of AMT and ended up with a big credit, and we're slowly getting it back year by year.
Right. Well, now they've increased the floor amount, so you should have less impact on AMT, so that might reduce your benefit from that credit.
Okay.
That's the negative part of all this.
Sorry, Mac.
All right, thanks.
Hey, thanks for calling. Support for KLW is provided by the Bar Association of San Francisco. If you have a legal problem, you may need to talk to a lawyer. The San Francisco Bar Association's Lawyer Referral Service can arrange an appointment for you to meet with an attorney experienced in the area of law related to your situation in both San Francisco and Marin County. For a referral to a lawyer or the Bay Area Mediation Services Program of the San Francisco Bar Association, here's the number, 415-989-1616, 415-989-1616. If you're in San Mateo County, the San Mateo County Bar also has a lawyer referral service. That's 650-369-4149, 650-369-4149. With minor exception, in California, most counties have bar associations and lawyer referral services. If you're in some county and you have a legal problem, see if you have a lawyer referral service. Call them during normal business hours. Tell them what the problem is. They'll do their best to find an attorney who's experienced and set you up for half an hour consultation. With, again, minor exception, you will pay throughout California somewhere between $25 to $35 for the half an hour. That money, by the way, does not go to the lawyer. It goes to the lawyer referral service. It's a great public service, and I think it's a great consumer service, so something to keep in mind. Additional funding for Your Legal Rights is made possible by the Family Law Section, the Trust and Estate Section, and the Labor and Employment Law Section of the California Lawyers Association, the California Applicants Attorneys Association, and the San Mateo County Bar Association. So let's see. We have, I think, Elaine. Welcome to the program.
Hi. Thank you. You always have great programs.
Well, thank you very much.
Okay. So this is my question. My mother owned a house in San Francisco that caught on fire in 2014. Mm. She's in her 80s. We did not get enough funds from the insurance company to repair the house. So we wind up selling it last year. And so when I do her taxes, have her taxes done, am I supposed to explain in the taxes that she has this money in the bank from selling the house?
Well, when you sell a piece of property like that where there's been a casualty loss, you start with what your mother paid for the house.
Originally.
You add whatever improvements occurred over the years. You deduct any depreciation that may have been taken if parts or all of it were rented out. Or used for business purposes and depreciated it. And then when you have the casualty, the insurance money comes in and reduces your basis by that amount. And then to the extent you spent any money to fix up the house, then that would add to your basis. So if none of the money was spent to fix the house, then your basis is going to be reduced by that and those insurance proceeds. And so that will become your basis against which you'd be looking to offset whatever the net sale price of the property is.
And Elaine, do you know what your mother, when your mother acquired the property, what the price was when she bought it?
Oh, yeah, it was in 1956.
Well, now, if your parents were married, if your parents were married and your father died somewhere between then and now, then at the time he died, the property would have gotten a new income tax basis equal to fair market value at that date.
At the time of his death.
At the time of his death.
Yeah.
So that's the number you would start with in that case.
Elaine, do you have an accountant or someone who can help you on that? Well, if I may suggest, and I'm not looking to employ either lawyers or accountants, but so that you get the full benefit of what you hope you will get out of this with respect to your mother, I think you really need to contact either a specialist in taxation such as David or a certified public accountant.
Right. Get some tax help with the tax return to
make
sure.
Certified public accountant, you said?
I'm sorry, what?
You said a certified...
Well, either a certified specialist in taxation law through the California Board of Legal Specialization. Let me give you the phone number. And you have something to write with?
Yes, I'm writing.
Yeah, the phone number for the California Board of Legal Specialization. David is certified by the California Board of Legal Specialization as a specialist in taxation law. There are many specialists in taxation law in California. But here's the phone number that you can call to the California Board of Legal Specialization, 415-538-2100.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you have a computer, you can do some work on this yourself by going to www.calbar.ca.gov.
Mm-hmm.
And go to up in your upper left corner of your screen, at least that's where it used to be, Legal Specialist. Click that on. Click on your county, and I think you are in Alameda County, from what I can tell.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Click on Alameda County and then find the listing for the specialization in taxation law. Click that on, and it'll tell you who the specialists are in your area.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thank you very much. Yeah. I learned so much from listening to your show.
But I've been an attorney for over 50 years. I've been a consumer advocate for a long, long time. And you really need to do something to help yourself. And some people think I'm trying to get lawyers' jobs. I'm not. I'm not.
I know.
I'm not.
You're trying to help us with resources.
That's right. That's right. Okay. Yeah. Well, good luck to you.
And I appreciate it, both
okay.
of you. Thank
All right,
you very much.
Take care, my dear. Nice to have
you
call.
Sure. Bye-bye.
Arian, welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Yes, thank you. I have two questions.
Sure.
I'm wondering if they've discussed this previously, whether the Congress decided to tax non-monetary remuneration. For instance, I manage an apartment building. Am I going to have to pay taxes? I barter, basically, the apartment that I receive in exchange for work at the apartment building.
Oh, that's interesting. All right.
All right,
stay on the line, Arian. We'll deal with this first question.
All right. Yeah.
Thank you.
So that part of the law has not changed. So whatever the arrangements were before, I mean, theoretically, if you're providing services and you're getting a benefit in return, that is income and you should be paying tax on it. Now,
yeah.
A lot of people don't. But that is basically has been the law and still is the law.
So how would she calculate what income she's making?
Well,
from
it
this?
Would
what
be the fair market value
of the rental.
Of the rental that she's not paying.
I'm sorry to tell you that, Arian.
But that's been the law, and that has not changed.
Yeah. Now, what is your second question?
And what about medical benefits? They discussed the possibility of taxing if you get medical insurance through your job.
No, that has not changed. That's still not taxable to you. If it's part of what the employer pays as part of your job benefits, that's not taxable.
Thank you.
Okay. Is that okay now, Arian?
Yes. Thank you.
Okay. Hey, thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Good luck. Again, everybody, I just want to remind you that David will be back when people really start getting serious about the 2017 returns. David will return on Wednesday, March 14th from 7 to 8 p.m. Pacific Time, wherever you may be, by the way, in the United States, because we are on the Internet nationally. And I welcome anyone anywhere in the United States. We're talking about federal tax law. David will be back here on Wednesday, March 14th from 7 to 8 p.m. Pacific Time for our annual, which is Preparing Your Income Tax Return Program. And in addition to that, which we do every year, we will have a Call a CPA night where we will have several CPAs in the conference room here at KLW in San Francisco who will be taking calls off the air and talking with you about your income tax questions, issues, problems, etc. on an 800 number. So you might want to jot down March 14th. And let's see, do we have anybody else, Martin? No one else is calling. So, David, we have a few seconds left. Do you want to end up with anything that might encourage us?
Well,
Should we move to Canada?
One thing that is not positive about this is that they are eliminating the deduction for moving expenses unless you're in the military.
That's right.
And
yeah.
Similarly, for any reimbursement's going to be treated as income. So that's going to be a problem for people that move around from place to place. And that's unfortunate.
So that is effective 2018. Unless you're in the military.
Right. So that's another issue.
That could be a significant thing. Are you with me, Joanne? All right. And in any event, David, we have a few seconds. Anything else?
People need to really look through this. It does cover a lot of areas. There's about 50 provisions in there that are major, and you need to look at those, and it's changed several hundred code sections. So people need to really look and see how they're impacted.
In other words, easy reading.
Yeah, right.
David, thank you very much for joining us. It's been great to have you back on the program. David Hillman is a specialist in federal taxation law, also in estate planning, trust, and probate law, certified by the California Board of Legal Specialization. He's also a CPA. His office is in San Rafael. David, thanks so much.
Quite welcome.
Next time on the program, it's employment law and its new laws for the workplace. Our guests are Thomas Lenz, the chair, and Scott Stillman, a member of the Executive Committee of the Labor and Employment Law Section of the California Lawyers Association. It's also our monthly Call a Lawyer Night when you can talk with the attorneys off the air, and this is going to be on January 24th. You can talk with lawyers off the air at 800-525-9917. That's 800-525-9917. While I'm doing the live program, you'll be able to talk with attorneys off the air. And we do this every month. Your Legal Rights production staff members are program engineer Joanne Marr, production assistant Martin McClain. Funding for this segment of Your Legal Rights was made possible by the California Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar and by the National Board of Trial Advocacy, which also funds the public radio satellite transmission of the program. Thanks for joining us on Your Legal Rights Public Radio, and please join us next time on your public radio station.